I'm Ryan Elliott, the one that is infamous for way too long of stories. I'm going to try to stop that train right now and not do a too long introduction. Ron Renata, my comrade here. Our goal, our theme, is to show you that small groups, small group time, can have a big impact. Don't make us make you repeat that, okay? Small group time, big impact. And I say this with humility, because as the director of First through Sixth for the last few years, we are not fully implemented in this in all classrooms. So Jeremy, as a good, strong, and yet passive-aggressive leader, asked me to help teach this, I think, so that I actually practice what I preach. So, amen. Well done, Jackson. So I want to just impress upon us that this is workshop. There's going to be a biblical basis that I'm going to bring forward for sure. And then we're looking to be practical and applicable with this, because there's no better time to look at application and practicality than when we're relating with these kids in our small group times. Let me just share with you guys a couple of real examples just from the last month of me kind of observing the different areas in classrooms in our ministries. These are real statements, whether just statements or prayer requests that kids have brought up. So a group of three fifth grade boys at the same small group had a big problem. They said that Julian has been cussing at school again lately. A first grade girl asked for prayer. Now, listen to me here. Asked for prayer for her stepdad to come back to life. She doesn't have a stepdad, nor was he dead. So I was thinking, where are we going? Where are we going with this? So I'm saying, in the grand scheme of things, these might need some follow-up, right? So don't believe every prayer request you hear. A sixth grade boy said it was really hard to be separated from his family when he was in foster care as a younger kid. A fifth grade boy clowned around and laughed as he was saying an answer to the anguish of Christ on the cross. A second grade little girl prayed for her to not get her feelings hurt so bad when her cousins teased her all the time. And then just last week, a first grade boy asked me to pray in advance for him to not get nightmares when he snuck downstairs that night to watch The Walking Dead with his parents when they didn't know he was out of bed. So, sometimes application's just right there, right? I'll just leave that one alone. So my goal is to take us this community Bible church. We need to be in the Bible, right? So what's the biblical basis for having these small group times? The purpose of our group simply, guys, is to relationally show Christ's love to these kids, right? That is our goal. We say it a lot. We say it in nice, flowery language, but we get to love kids. And we get to show that love that Christ has shown to us to them. We get to be who we are in Christ to these kids. And we don't have to be anything that we're not. Toenails, appendixes, livers, mouths, you name it. We get to be the body of Christ to the kids in front of us, right? So do that to the best of our ability. That's our goal. And we're looking for to be obedient to God's commands, right? In James, it says we want to be doers, not just hearers of the word. And so one of the themes that I'm going to try to thread through this is our goal is to love these kids and to consistently be throwing a mirror up, right? What we're saying with the discipline that the guys just talked with and loving them and keeping decorum in our classes is to throw a mirror up that says, you got a dirty face, so do I. Run to Jesus and he can wipe you clean, right? Consistently just show them a mirror. And then we have the unbelievable opportunity to be disciple makers. Okay, we are exalting Christ and the virtues of him and the gospel, but disciple making, there's not an age that okay, now we're going to make you, now you're a disciple maker. This is like Jeremy said, when we're walking in the way with them, and we're not their parents, but we get to align with those parents and to be discipling these kids, especially because, guys, believe it. No matter what you see in front of you today, God saved me young, like first grade young. I knew I was a sinner. I repented, and he saved me. And it took no less of his blood to save me at age 5 or 6 than it did you in the gutter face down at 30 or whatever else. So believe that Jesus can save these kids now. And then we can come alongside those parents and become disciple makers. So big point. How do small groups, why these small groups can have a big impact, and why would we do them? We serve a relational Heavenly Father, right? How amazing is it that we get to call God Father? Think of this verse, Deuteronomy 4:37. Because he loved your fathers, therefore he chose their descendants after them. And he personally brought you out from Egypt by his great power. I just love that word, personally, right? Because God could do anything any way he wanted to, but he chose to be personal with us. And in the New Testament, we see that, right? Sheep hear his voice. We as his sheep hear his voice. It's a relational thing. Our backyard sheep growing up, when my dad got home and he said, "Hi, Speck," that sheep knew my dad's voice, right? And we respond to our Savior that way. It's a personal relationship. I couldn't get Speck to baa back at me. Okay? 1 John 4:9 through 10, we see that God manifested his love in that he sent Jesus to be the propitiation for our sins. How much more relational can we be? He sent his Son, Emmanuel, God with us, to bleed for us personally, to die for us personally. The gospel is personal, right? He could have just said, "I save you all," but he chose us by name, put our name in the Lamb's Book of Life before the foundation of the world. What a personal, personal Savior. And then how do we respond to that? We love him. And then we get to show that love to other people. And that's the hallmark of children's ministry. It's a hallmark of ministry. It's a hallmark of being a Christian, right? So, beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. That's our response to God's love, is to love these kids. So I want us to marinate in this verse of 1 Peter 4:10 through 11. As each one has received a special gift, employ it, serving one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. Whoever speaks is to do so as one who is speaking the utterances of God. Whoever serves is to do so as one who is serving by the strength that God supplies, so that in all things God may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom belongs all the glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. We get to serve a God who loved us personally, and then show that by relating to these kids personally. So as just a first point of application, when we're talking about implementation of small groups, some of the barriers that we've had in children's Sunday school in the early mornings is space. That beast has been an answer to prayer, that building, I'm saying. I wasn't pointing to Lance up there. That building is an answer to prayer, but I guess from my personal application, it's, whoa, be careful what you pray for, because it's the excuse of, we got 30 kids in one room, how do I really do small groups of, like, you 15, turn your heads that way, and you 15, like, put your back to them, and then now we've got two small groups and we're going to roll. That's hard. It is. And that's some of our barriers. But now that architectural barriers aren't going to be a big problem, let's all be praying for the right people, people that are here to exalt Christ and love these kids and point them to Christ, to be more and more tangibly invested in being a small group leader. Because I'll be honest with you, and sometimes with stories and everything else that I'm trying, I've got the holy grail of that hook, right? And I, oh, this is going to be an awesome lesson, and you're going to listen to my stinking stories, and then I'll keep you here until... And then my small group leader sitting over there kind of going, okay, so I took role, and now what, right? It's a pyramid scheme, and I'm the top of it, because the teacher that day, that's not cool. So have our small groups, and pray for small group leaders to be able to look and see what our job description is. That, you know what, we're more than just boy-girl separators. We actually have a tangible relational ministry to these kids, and let's see if we can do it. So again, we can be disciple makers. So now the key point, how does this look? How do we tangibly do small groups? We got three main points. We're looking to get three things done in these small groups, among a myriad of other things. But apply the lesson, right? Not just rehash it. Apply that Bible verse that they've been hopefully working on, and then pray with the kids. So those three things are what we're going to try to dive into right now. So I'll toss it to Ron.
Cool. Cool. Thanks. Thanks for that just reminder, you know, of our identity. And Phil even started us off that way earlier today, knowing that as we are in ministry, it's because we are children of God, right? So praise God for that. And so as we address, you know, the activities of small group, we're not speaking to just the small group leaders. We're speaking to everybody, and we're speaking to ourselves. Whether you're the main group leader or a helper, you're both leaders, right? You might be a helper to the main leader, but you're still a leader as well. So as we get into those three things that we want to focus on, the, you know, addressing the lesson and the scriptures and being able to pray with them, one thing that we just want to address as well is just how do you handle the small group, right? And so what we want to do is, you know, the vision for the small group is to create an environment to be able to build these relationships that we were talking about. Ryan said that one of our emphases is this is a relational ministry, and the small groups fosters that or should foster that. So consider Jesus' own discipleship ministry, right? He knew his disciples, and that's because he knows all, okay? He knew where they were weak. He knew what their needs were. He invested hours and days and years of his life. You know, can we say the same of ourselves, you know? Do we apply ourselves in that same manner, or is small group just small group, and that's where we think we're spending, you know, that relational time with the kids, and then that's it until the following week? Hopefully, we would strive for more than just that. But practically speaking, when we get into small groups, so create an environment that helps establish those relationships and supports those activities that we want to do. You know, something as simple as sitting down, right? How are you forming your group? We've got some really challenging groups on Wednesday night. I'll say that. Maybe our groups are the only ones that have the challenges. But for example, we use a seminary building, and we get to use the library. Praise God, right? Because we need the room. But as a leader, if one student is standing in a corner, you know, and looking at the books because there's so many distractions there, and then they've got the swivel chairs, and another kid is sitting down, he's got his leg up, okay, and then another kid is on another chair and he's swiveling and he's having fun. How are we guiding that time? You know, are we trying to shepherd them the right way? And it goes back to what Pete and Thomas were talking about, is exercise authority over that time. So, you know, try to make it uniform, practically speaking. Try to set something up where the classroom is intimate. Let's say just do a half circle, right? And just thinking about even the leaders that are in there, make sure you bring in your leaders. If you're a main group leader, bring in your leaders, right? Don't let them go back and sit off in the corners, kind of like what Ryan was talking about, because this is a time where we want to be relational with them. Let's see here. And as we're just talking about being disciple makers, you know, as you enter a small group time, just that encouragement that before you even open your eyes, know that you're a disciple maker, right? So that you're not surprised to be confronted with difficult kids. Know that you're a disciple maker first, so that when you do open your eyes and you do see those kids that need that loving exhortation, that you would reach out to them in love as opposed to frustration. So moving on then, one of the first things that at least in our group on Wednesday nights, that we try to do during small groups are the Bible lesson, or discussing the Bible lesson. And so it's good for us to know the main purpose of our time. Jesus came to reveal the glories of God ultimately through himself by becoming a man, going to die to the cross, or going to the cross to die, and being resurrected to become Lord of all. And it is him that we want to magnify. And we do this through the lesson time. And so there is prep work, I guess is what I'm trying to get at, right? As you're going into small groups, there's actually things that you could have done before you even got there. Here on Wednesday nights, whether you're the main leader again or you're a helper, what are you doing with the lesson time? It's almost like small group time is like the dinner table, right? And you're the table runner. And the way we're serving the meal is through a buffet, okay? And so the lesson, as it's being delivered first, is the buffet. and there could be dozens of dishes, right? And there are some great dishes. There are some really special dishes. And there are some that are just fillers, okay? And so as the small, as somebody working in small group, what of the lesson are you going to be bringing in to the small group time, okay? And so during lesson time, there are things that you can practically be doing. You can be attentive. Are you being attentive? Are you bringing just a piece of paper and a pen? And are you jotting down what is being taught during that time? Just so that you're equipping yourself and preparing yourself to be in small group. How diligently are we equipping ourselves? As Jeremy pointed out in his lesson, you know, as the lesson is being delivered, you know, you could be noting down what is the theme, okay? What were the main points or the subpoints? Things like if there were questions, okay? During lesson time, I really appreciate teachers that ask questions and engage the group during lesson time. Are there questions that are worthy to continue to bring into small group time? Okay, come up with your own questions. Don't be afraid to do that. Okay, and then if possible, in GTC and Clubbers, and where I serve, the lesson is on the memory verse, so it totally ties together. Okay, but I know in some of the other ministries, because you have a curriculum that's different from the verses, they're not necessarily tied together. But if there is a theme, as Jeremy was saying, is there a way we can connect the memory verse scriptures to the lessons? Okay, and so even as you're sitting under the lessons, okay, what are those lessons revealing to you about God? How were you struck? What things struck you about just how wonderful He is? Whether it's His love or His grace or His forgiveness, and those are things that you can apply even in small group, even as you're faced with those challenging kids. With that, I'm going to hand it back off to Ryan.
So again, relationally, how does that look, right? Because often we've been guilty of it, and I've seen it as well, but to just rehash the lesson. As a small group leader, I get to reteach that lesson or teach my own, right? It's my turn to be a teacher, and teacher's the highest rank, and I want that pinned on my lapel, and therefore you guys are going to sit back down and deal with some more teaching right now. It's not to rehash the lesson or to talk at the kids again. That's our time to talk with the kids much more relationally. So not to hammer on the Jackson family today, but Jeremy's dad, my Uncle Mike, was not my favorite Sunday school teacher. Very unmemorable, right? So probably because I was messing around in class most of the time. But there's one time I'll never forget where my Uncle Mike was sitting down and he was talking about Noah's Ark, which is always pretty sweet, right, to teach on, because what's better than animals 2x2, and you got a T-Rex and the Ark, and this is awesome. So, but Uncle Mike, at the end of that, it was like, wait, it's all literally unicorns and rainbows until he dropped at the end of it. Would you have been one of the ones in rebellion knocking at that closed door? Or would you have been one of the ones who bowed your knee, repented of your sin, and was saved by grace and was inside that ark safe? I thought, wait a second here. This is hitting too close to home. I don't like how I look in this mirror right now, right? Going back to the James thing. That's application, right? That's small group discussion time that we can really make poignant for the kids in front of us. Hopefully a small group of kids, being that we're talking about small groups, but that application is, what does God want me to be? How does He want me to change because of what I just heard in that lesson, right? Was sin revealed? What's my response? I need to repent of that, right? And that's for leader first and then the kids, right? But am I just realizing that Jesus is Lord of yet another facet of my life? How many guys have you heard of prayer requests where you're talking about, I get so mad when my parents tell me to turn off the Nintendo. Whatever they are nowadays, right? Exactly. Is Jesus Lord of your video game time too? Is there submission that's needed there? Is there submission to the authority that God has given your parents to tell you you need to turn that off? There's practical application that can come out of these small group times. And again, they're most impactful when we're showing the mirror. And not just to say you're a dirty, rotten sinner, it's to say flee to Him, right? Go find safety in Jesus, because he already took the bullet for you, right? That was you that should have been on that cross. That was me that should have been on that cross, but he did that for us. Point them to the great things that God has done, right? How many times do we have stories in our mind? That's what a ton of the Psalms are about. Remember when Jesus, when God took you out of Egypt. Remember when. Let's take them back to the things that we know that God has done in the Scriptures and in our lives personally, right? That's relational. It's a two-way street of communication. And then if the opportunity exists, by God's grace, use some of the techniques that you've heard in the counseling classes, right? Give homework. You're saying that here's an issue. So what does that look like? We pray about it right now. But when you are consistently telling me, rightfully so, that you don't like it, you can't stand the attention that so-and-so is getting at their swim practice. You have to go, you get in the van, you have to sit there and wait for them, blah, 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 blah. Okay, we're going to pray for that. But how do we follow back up on that afterwards, right? Maybe give them homework. You know, what does it mean when Jesus tells us not to grumble? Are you grumbling, right? And so therefore, let's pray about that, and then let's talk about it next time you come back in here. So this is, again, apply the scripture, apply the lesson, apply that Bible verse, and then look to go into prayer as well. So here's Ron with the Bible verse.
So moving on from lesson discussion, the next activity that we do in small group times that's very important that we want to focus on is being able to have time to recite the Bible verses, the memory verses. And the exhortation that we have there is that, are we after performance and perfection or even points on Wednesday nights, okay? Or are we after sincere application and just a deep appreciation and dependence on God's Word? On Wednesday nights, you guys know, we do a lot of things during small group time, and there's only so much time that we can do, okay? Or that we have to do the things that we have to do. And so as we're reciting those verses, sometimes we just run through it, right? I mean, is that how we are treating that time, or are we being diligent to try to leverage that time and show that God's Word is important? So let's be careful just not to cheapen God's Word just for the sake of points. Part of the reason I say that is there are kids, you know, and they'll say, I just need 5 minutes. I just want to memorize the verse. Please give me 5 minutes. Okay? And it's mainly because they want it for the points. If I ask them tomorrow, they probably wouldn't remember that word anymore, you know? And so be wise about how you might be sacrificing time for either discussion or counseling or prayer just for the sake of being able to memorize the verse just at that moment. There is prep work that we can do here as well as leaders of the children. We have a schedule. We know what days we're going to be memorizing those verses and then what verses are coming up. So we should be taking the time ourselves, right? I think it's a good challenge that we can have for ourselves to actually memorize the Bible verses. Maybe be the first one to recite it, right, when you get into your small group. Look at the words that are in there. Be prepared to help explain what those words are, because some of those words are hard to understand. What is a bulwark? Right? What is opinion? What does it mean to dwell in the shelter of the Most High? What does it mean to abide in the shadow of the Almighty? So help them to understand and see what those things are.
Prayer request time. How many of you guys have experienced the stone cold silence of, anybody have anything they want to pray about? Anybody? Anybody at all? Okay, so keep drawing your pictures, doing your Play-Doh, whatever else it is. We have a chance relationally to be able to help these kids apply God's Word to their lives and to talk to God Almighty about their problems, their praises, or even point out when there is a praise. So I guess my key point in this prayer time is know the kids, write down what they say, and build on that. And build on that, and build on that. So when Johnny asked last week for his cold to get better, and you're praying harder than he is because it is disgusting, like the Fu Manchu of snot, and you're like, oh, yes. Please, Lord, help them get better. I got vacation next week, and I know you're just a ticking time bomb. But But seriously, build on those things so that when they don't know it or haven't, it's not, yeah, I got nothing to pray about. Wait a second, you prayed last week for your cold, for your entire family to get better, and you all look great today. That's our first prayer request. I'll bring it up for you. Elliot family is better from their sickness. That's God Almighty that intervened in your sickness and changed that virus, and now you're back to health. Amazing, right? So we have a chance to open their eyes to the glory of our God and our Savior in praise, in thanksgiving, and then, yes, those prayer requests. And then about the only thing worse than silence is the third time that they bring up the thorn that Fluffy the cat got, right? Or the dead dog from, you've talked to the parents, like, no, that dog was dead a long time ago. It's not coming back. We just renamed another one that same name. So, but imagine that relationship and think about how we, sometimes we, like the guys were talking about, the pendulum being swung of too much care. So, oh man, oh no. So she got a thorn in her paw again. And then the next kid, it's talking about, you know, a family member with a terminal illness, and how much more do I get to grade my response? I just gave Fluffy everything I had, and now I've got something that's of true impact. Or, you know, a kid that's heartbroken about foster care or something like that, and now am I actually responding in kind, or am I, next one, you, right? On the days that there are prayer requests coming like wildfire. So, again, pause and bring them back to the glory of a God who listens to our little needs. Because Fluffy's paw is important. Because Jesus stopped and wept even when he knew the end of the story was Lazarus coming back to life. Right? He cares about the little stuff, like a crying pair of sisters with their brother being dead. Even though he knows the end of the story. He knows, I'm going to do something greater than you've ever seen, yet I'm going to stop and pause and weep with you. So that's something that we can bring forward to these kids. So the whole point here is, in our application of the lesson, reiterating the theme, and our application of the Bible verse, in our time of prayer with these kids, do these kids know we love them? Right? Because they will. Rest assured. And Mrs. Brom, one of my favorite teachers in our ministry who couldn't be here today because of sickness, I'll quote her. Her goal in 45 years of children's ministry is for no kid to remember her, but to remember Jesus, who she kept pointing them to over and over and over again, right? So that's where we can be relational and just keep saying, I get it, right? I know you as a person. I know your name, and I'm going to keep pointing you to Christ, the sufficient sacrifice, right? So our goal in concluding here is be like your shepherd. Be like Jesus, who's constantly caring for your soul. And he's relational to us, so we should be relational to these kids.
So as we're encouraged to just be relational, and as we're encouraged to love these children as Christ loves them, hopefully you would even take action outside of small group. Okay, you don't have to do your thing just in small group. If you prayed for them on Wednesday night and you see them on Sunday, say hello to them instead of being like two ships passing in the night in that hallway, right? I believe most of us, right, are in discipleship relationships ourselves. And after Sunday service or before in the morning, we go and seek out our discipler, okay, or somebody we're discipling. These kids are our disciples. Are we taking the times outside of ministry, to do ministry, right? So think about that. There are so many ways. If you're able to, you can entertain families of the children and have the children come over. If you're able to, if the parents let you could even take, say, your small group out and try to do an outing with them. There are so many ways that we can work outside of the boundaries of children's ministry. And still relate to them.
You guys, this is not a small task. Because again, going back to the toenail versus appendix versus liver, we're not all mouths in the body of Christ. So yes, God has gifted us, but we are all called to discipleship ministry, and we're all called to show love to other people. And there is it's very difficult, I would submit to you, it's very difficult to show love wrong, right? well, you did that badly. I loved them. I sincerely love that child, and I want the best for them. And I did that. Kids see love, right? I mean, we see it. We know when someone's earnest and they really care about us and care about what we're going through. So it's hard to do this wrong. It's easy to do it from a distance. It's easy to kind of be, here we go. I'm ready for what my job is. And it's kind of a general teaching, control. I'm the best at separating the boys and the girls and knowing that Johnny shouldn't even sit two away from Billy. You know, there's got to be two girl buffer in between those two. That's not our primary ministry here. So remember who we are and remember who gives us strength. Right? That 1 Peter passage, serve in the strength that God provides. And that's a promise. He will provide it. So even when you're feeling burnt and you don't have anything left in the tank, I think that's when some of our ministries are most powerful, because we're relying on His strength and our weakness. So be comforted in a conclusion statement here that we have the opportunity to spend time with these kids and show them Jesus. And this is something Jesus took His time to do with His disciples. So to show them that they don't have to become something different to love Jesus. They can love Him now and respond now. Jesus is the one that tells us as adults to become like children and have childlike trust and faith. So why would we expect that God can't save a child until he's an adult, right? So do this work and emulate our Savior, right? By being personal, being relational, and prayerful over those that are entrusted into our care. Because it is it's a mighty work that God's given us to do. And do it for His glory. That they wouldn't remember our name, but they would remember who we're constantly pointing them to. And that's Jesus, our Savior. So let's wrap up and ask a couple questions and then get you to some time of prayer. Lord God, we need help in this. Because we're selfish. And I care about myself more than others, more than I don't. So forgive us of that. Forgive me of that. And help us to be loving and relational and joyful in pouring out what you've poured into us already. We'll give you the glory for it. In Jesus' name.